Blog Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
Thank God for you being here, calling in. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope, Charlotte, North Carolina, our new location, 5105 Reagan Drive. And I just thank God for us having this Bible study on Wednesday night. I'm not going to hold you. I hope you're enjoying. If you're in the Charlotte area, I hope you're enjoying this wonderful weather that we have. Yesterday it was up to 80, and today it's up to 70, I believe, and we're going to have good weather all week long as we head towards Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. This ought to be a special, special Sunday for us because it's Resurrection Sunday. So I don't know if you're excited, but I'm definitely excited. I'm not going to hold you long. We're going right into the book of Numbers, and we're going to talk about our topic is negative people who are close to you. And we want to be mindful of having a positive confession, a positive attitude. That's so important. And especially when God has told you something, you need to really stay focused and stay positive about the directions that God has given you. And sometimes you'll find negative people right up under you. So let's jump right into this. Let's see, 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. And those of you who know me, I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament too, but I love the Old Testament. So we're thanking God. I'm going to be jumping around in this chapter, so stay with me. Verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. For each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So one of its leaders were to go. There were 12 tribes, and for each tribe, one leader had to be represented. So we've got people who are close to Moses, people who are close to God, people who are leaders. They've been chosen amongst the group as leaders, and that's very important. So he sends out these 12 spies to go and spy out the land that God had promised them. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. So I'm jumping down to verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So these are the instructions that were given to the 12 spies. Now remember, this is the place, Canaan is the promised land. It is the place that God promised to give the Israelites when he delivered them from Egypt. So they knew that they were going somewhere, and they were going to a place called Canaan, and that was the place that God was promising them. So they're approaching it, and Moses is instructed to send 12 spies. Verse 26, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. 'We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit.'" Now, if you read back up, the fruit was so big, and I'm looking back, I don't want to, I think it's like in verse 23, the fruit was so big that two men had to carry it. The clusters of grapes were so big and so full that two people had to carry it. Okay, so here it is. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." Verse 28, "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do that." So we've got a good report coming from Canaan. "We should go up and take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." They describe it. They give their precautions about the people who live there. They talk about how fruitful the land is. But listen to verse 31, and I'm really praying because I want you to stay with me. I'm excited about this. It seems like I don't want to seem like I'm all over the place, but I'm excited about this because I need you to hear it. Because sometimes there are people close to you that might be negative. Sometimes they could be representing God and be negative. Now, don't get me wrong, constructive criticism is okay. But that negative spirit, negative attitude, particularly when God has promised you something. So listen, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Now, the Bible lays it out specifically. These men who talked against it, verse 32 says, they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim. They're the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Lord, have mercy. How can two people, well, it was 12, but how can all these people go to the same place and see two different things? Now, previously I talked to you about Elijah in the book of Isaiah, where he wanted his servant, the one who was close to him, to see what he saw. He wanted, needed him to have a clear vision. Okay? This time we're talking about people who are close to you who are negative. Negative, negative, negative. They both went to the same place. They both knew that God was going to promise them this land. They both looked at it. One saw one thing, and the other one saw another. Out of 12 people, only two people came back with a good report, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And that's all you hear about in the Bible. You don't even hear about the other 10. You don't even know not one of their names. But you know Joshua and you know Caleb. Is anybody hearing me? Now listen, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to verse 14. I want you to understand how a negative report, a negative attitude, a negative spirit, what it can do if you allow it. Chapter 14, verse 1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword?" Now, how is God going to promise you something, take you to it, and then kill you while you're there? That just don't even make any sense. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Now, because a few people, a few leaders, a few people in key spots, a few people who are seemingly close to God give a negative report, it causes an uproar in the camp. Has anybody been to church lately? Because sometimes a negative report can cause an uproar in a church. Hello? So we have got to be, whether we're laymen, whether we're in the pulpit, as the cliche goes, from the pulpit to the door. We have got to be positive. We've got to make sure we have a clear vision. We've got to make sure that we're focused. Even on our jobs, we have to make sure that we have a clear vision and that we're focused. I began to pray, like I shared with you a couple weeks ago, how my job was just, you know, just constantly, constantly. I was constantly complaining. Kids are so bad, yada, yada, yada. And I just decided to change my attitude about my job and change my attitude about the kids. And lo and behold, life is better. They're better and I'm better. Because I didn't come in, you know, it got to a point where the kids was like, "Okay, Ms. Parsons, before I come in, how was your day? How did it go? Did anybody make you mad?" And now it's different. And I mean, that took all of a week, week and a half. You know, so it's our attitude towards what we're doing and what we're going through. But this is the part that the Holy Ghost really wants me to home in on. God has promised you some things. He wants to do some things in your life. He wants to elevate you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to show you off. But you have got to remain focused You've got to make sure that your vision, the vision that he's given you, is clear, and you have to drown out negative spirits, negative attitudes, people who will talk against the promises of God in your life. I'm taking a minute to let that marinate. You have to stay focused and remember that sometimes there are going to be some people that are close to you that have no understanding, no clarity on what God is doing in your life. And you may not have the time, the opportunity, it may not be the season to explain it all to them. It just may not be that time and season. You're going to have to go and do what God has called you to do. Are you listening to me? Listen to verse 5 of chapter 14. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jehunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly," hallelujah, "good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and this is key, and I'm almost done, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." In other words, as God begins to bless you, as he begins to show you what he would have you to do, people of God, do not be intimidated. Do not be afraid. I don't care about credentials. I don't care about money, resources. God is your provider, and he will set you in high places. Be prepared to humbly receive that and do what he's called you to do. I'm speaking life to somebody. Be prepared to go where God wants you to go and do what he would have you to do. Don't go with any other authority except the anointing of God. No other authority but the Holy Spirit. That's your authority. Because God has made some promises, and he wants those promises fulfilled in your life. I'm excited about this. It doesn't mean that the people around you are bad. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. Sometimes they might be. Sometimes you might have people around you that are not saved. It doesn't mean that. It just means they might be carnal. Carnal means they're looking with the eye of the flesh and not with the eye of the spirit. It might be that they're afraid, and their fear will cause you to be negative. Fear will cause you to shut some things down. And so we have to be ready to just go and do what God would have us to do in spite of. Doesn't mean that we treat people any differently, but I tell you one thing, you definitely can't let anybody stop your vision. You definitely can't let anybody stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And if you don't know what he's called you to do, get in the word, get in the prayer, and find out. Most of us know. Most of us have what we call that gut feeling. We know. We just have to get into the word more, get into prayer more, to really pursue it with diligence. I hope you've been blessed by this. Because I'm done. I thank God for the book of Numbers. I thank God for how he wants us to fulfill our purposes and our goals. And I'm telling you, people of God, psychologists say one negative response can counteract several positive responses or compliments. So you have to press in. When somebody comes to you with the, "Oh, I don't think you won't be able to do that. You might want to wait. How much money you got in the bank? How are you going to do that? How are you going to buy that house? How is this going to happen? Well, you know, look, you got faith. I got faith too, but shut it down. We don't have to go into our Satan the Lord rebuke you mode, but we definitely can shut it down in Jesus' name. With all due respect, I know what God has told me to do, and I'm just going to go right on and do it. But God bless you. God loves you. We have to stand. We have to take a stand over what God has called us to do. You see Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron, they took a stand. They took a stand. And they said, look, we're not going to be rebellious here against what God has promised us. And that's a word in and of itself. So now walking the promises of God is a form of rebellion? Well, Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Anybody have anything to say? If you want to chime in, press 1 and I'll let you in. But I'm excited about that thing. That was a word right there. To not walk in the promises of God is a form of rebellion. Because that land was promised to them. And they made it plain. We don't want to rebel against God. He's going to give us this if we don't rebel against him. Help us today, Lord. I hope you've been blessed by this word. I want you to take some time and meditate on it. Read the book of Numbers, 13th and 14th chapter. Let it just get in your system. Let that word, you know, just take root. So that when people start to come against you or speak negative about those promises, you can remember, because the word is what sets us free. The word is what gives us life. You can remember the book of Numbers in this situation and say, oh, no, I don't have to walk in that. I can walk in the book of Numbers. I'm definitely going to walk in my promised land in Jesus' name. All right. I thank God for you. And if no one has any comments or questions, I do appreciate you being on the line. Again, if you do, you can definitely press 1. We're going to be in Philadelphia on April the 11th. We're actually going to be in Chester, Pennsylvania at Integrity Christian Center. And we're going to be there all day Saturday having a good time in the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm looking for God to bless and just do some miraculous things. His power, his anointing is going to be there. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, join us Saturday. Clear your calendar. Calendar, use a vacation day. Do whatever you have to do. It's a free will offering. Bring a friend. And bring an offering because it's a free will offering. So bring an offering. But come on out and we're going to have spectacular time in Jesus' name. The Lord loves you. And so do I. This is Pastor Kim from Vision of Hope. God bless you.